to No Buffs, the 10,000th podcast about the greatest television show ever made, Survivor. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling with three fellow tribe members. First up, he's got a beard like Rupert, and he rips more lips than Ozzy. And I'm talking about fish lips, okay, you sickos? We got Trey Kirby!
Hey-o!
Hey-yo!
Yo!
We got our super producer from No Dunks, and more importantly, a super Survivor fan, J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and look at this. This is pretty damn epic. We are ecstatic to welcome to the No Buffs tribe the executive producer at Crooked Media, cranking out the hits on Take Line, all caps, and his new pod, X-Ray Vision. He loves Ethan. It is Jason Concepcion. What's up, Jason?
It is a delight to be here.
Oh, my goodness. What were you actually showing us there for all the live streamers?
This is a postcard that I got from the great and legendary Ethan, Survivor, looking handsome through three stages of his life.
Beautiful.
I got this because I bought a Survivor t-shirt from his internet store.
Yep.
And then he was kind enough to send me two signed postcards. I didn't even ask for them. He just did it. What a nice guy.
Wow. Look at those locks, too. Love Ethan.
Beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. So, look, I listed all the shows that you're knocking out of the park, Jason, but you still have time to do a Survivor podcast here with No Buffs. And I want to point out right now, everyone, this isn't just for the premiere episode here of No Buffs. It's not like Jason is a guest. Jason is here all season long breaking down these episodes. My man, you must love Survivor.
It's just fun to talk about. It's like a vacation within a show for me. You know, as I'm looking at beaches, I'm looking at beautiful ocean views, I'm looking at palm trees, I'm looking at bug bites. It's like I'm on vacation.
Well, would you go on Survivor?
You know, it's funny you ask. I've thought about it. If I would have to, if the opportunity ever seriously presented itself. But I'm not going to go out of my way to try and be on it.
Okay.
I think I'd be okay. I think I'd be decent, but I would consider it.
Okay.
You would be a fan favorite, and yeah. I think people would recruit you. They're going to see this podcast say, oh, we can get Jason?
Yeah. You're going to be on Survivor, let's call it now, season 44 or something like that. You're going to be out there. And you better make me your loved one visit, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no, okay? That's what I'm going to do. Yeah. Well, this is my other bit that I have with my partner and my other Survivor friends is when the loved one visits or the letter or whatever come out, and everybody's like, weep, like, oh, my God. I'm just going to be like, yo, what's up?
Hey.
Yo.
Stone cold.
Hey. Good to see you.
No hug.
Bound.
Yeah, nothing. No hug. Just like a fit. Just like,
I'm good. Yeah.
Hey.
All right, guys. Let's get into this. So I'll let everybody know the schedule here for No Buffs. Okay. Every Wednesday night, Survivor is on. Everybody knows that if you're a Survivor fan. We will not be going live right after the show. We're going to leave that to the Survivor experts. You got to leave that to the know-it-alls there. In Rob and Stephen Fishback and all that. Rob has a podcast. We'll do our breakdowns, TK, the next day. You know, I know, Trey, you like a couple hours to digest what we just saw, talk it over maybe a little bit, formulate your thoughts. So the plan is every Thursday is when we'll all jump on together around this time. Let's call it 5:30, 6 o'clock Eastern time, 3 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock on the West Coast. And that's when we'll do it, TK. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, now that it's a podcast and an official podcast, we got to take it way more seriously. So we need those extra few hours, Skeets, to watch it through a second time and really break down the intricacies of what may happen.
You
think I'm not going to be dipping into the Ponderosa breakdowns afterwards at this point?
Right.
That's like a press conference after a game. We got to get all of the sicko stuff into this because if we're going to blow it out, we got to blow it out. I mean, this can serve as our audition tapes, our four audition tapes for trying to get onto the island by talking strat and just entertaining the people out here.
Oh, I like that. I know for this one, and we'll get into it with all the details of Survivor 41, there's no more like tribal themes, right? There's no brain versus beauty versus or the hustlers versus heroes. There's none of that. They're just going with Survivor 41. But who's to say it doesn't come back, JD, and there's like a podcasters versus television hosts versus radio personalities. So this might be our tribe is what I'm saying, Jim.
Absolutely. I can't wait for that. That'd be awesome. I'm going to miss the subtitles, I have to say.
You were a fan. You're a fan of Survivor 37, David versus Goliath. You like that?
I mean, never... Actually, no, really, because I'd go, oh, this is the cheesiest thing I've ever seen. Right. Like, this is, but then I would always get into it. And then I always liked the sort of the Stanford prison experiment thing where that happened, where it's like, oh, hey, I'm Gen X, and that's how we Gen X do this, you know, all of a sudden, oh, I'm a hustler because that's what, you know, that's what I do. I'm a healer, so I heal, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I liked the way people sort of pigeonholed themselves into whatever Jeff Probst decided they were going to be.
Yeah.
So I'm blue collar. That's how we do things, you know.
I'm
so,
no collar, whatever that means.
Yeah. I love yoga. I'm no collar. Yeah, some of them are bangers, right? Like David versus Goliath, great one. I thought Millennials versus Gen X, great one.
Yep.
But then heroes, hustlers, healers, like, what does that even mean? I would think a healer would probably be a hero. You got to hustle to do it, but I don't know. Maybe if you say we're never going back to a theme, nobody expects it, and then you can spring a great one.
Yeah,
that's right.
I think you're right. Well, we'll get into the entire cast, but maybe Survivor 41 is everybody's just 41 years old.
Yes.
Oldies.
So, okay, guys. So here's what we're doing with No Buffs. We're dropping this first one here in the No Dunks YouTube feed, in the podcast feed, but we have set up, or we're in the process when it comes to Spotify, of setting up a solely Survivor-oriented No Buffs channel, both on YouTube and Apple and Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. So go seek that out, No Buffs, and that's where all the rest of these are going to go. But we had to start this one in the No Dunks feed. Okay, so we're talking all Survivor 41 here, the details, the players. We'll make predictions, which we were talking about offline. Yeah. It's damn near impossible. Yeah, Jason, it's like, I don't know. I'll go with him or her. And we'll try and pick a first boot, too. That's just as difficult. But before we get to the actual season and all the little twists we have for this one, I thought it would be fun to look at this. I mean, Trey, you already said it. This is like our reel that we're sending in to Jeff Probst and the Survivor producers, that we sort of go over why or how we became Survivor fans, maybe share some of our favorite seasons, players, moments, and all that. So, Jason, you get us started. I want like it is a little resume. Name, age, occupation, describe yourself in three words, and then your biggest pet peeve before we talk about your Survivor past.
Oh, gosh. So my name is Jason Concepcion. I'm 41, Survivor 41. I watched the original season because of all the buzz and everything. I got hooked onto it. And then I kind of fell away, I would say, after Pearl Islands. What was the race war? I think it might have been race
war.
That
was 13, was like, Cook Islands, maybe?
Right, Cook Islands. So I kind of like started to fade out, was in and out at that time. Got back in a big way, you know, around Millennials versus Gen X, David versus Goliath, Second Chance era.
Yep.
And then I've just been back on the train. And I think, and you know, honestly, it's one of the best binges that you can have. And during these quarantine days that we've had over the last year, I just have been going through them and just running down Survivor after Survivor after Survivor. I am watching Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers right now, and it's fun. I just recently watched David's vs. Goliath. It's a great time.
Nice.
Oh, my God. This guy is getting ready for the new season here. Okay, how would you, how would you describe yourself? You're a Survivor contestant. In three words, what's a little bio?
I think that I have a good social game, a strong social game. I'm sowing chaos. I'm out here trying to like stir the pot to get people paranoid so hopefully I can continue to slip through.
Okay. A little finger like or something like that. Okay. Yeah. And biggest pet peeve, what's it saying?
Biggest pet peeve on the people who are bossy.
Okay. Excellent. So, with all that out of the way, who is your all-time favorite Survivor player, Jason?
Denise. I think it's Denise.
Wow.
Number one shortest player to ever win Survivor at 5 foot even.
Nice.
Which is huge. When you tell people that, I think they're shocked. She has such a huge physical, she just has a huge presence. She's a big presence. One of my favorite tribal final speeches of all time when she came in and was just like, listen, I'm not going to apologize for anything that I've done. I've betrayed some people here. I've lied to some people here, but I'm not going to apologize. I was like, I love you. That's the shit. She is just fantastic. Played the game with generosity, but also ruthlessness. Had, I think you could argue, one of the maybe the best single move in Winners at War, getting the queen out. Just one of my favorites. Everybody seems to love her. Plays with a joy and a thoughtfulness and not afraid to get down and dirty. Big fan.
All right. Didn't see that coming. Denise, winner of Survivor Season 25, the Philippines.
25,
that's when like her and Malcolm were like sort of like a crazy one too that maybe a lot of people didn't see coming. Okay. Favorite. This is awesome because you've been watching a lot of these recently. Favorite Survivor season, if you had to pick one. Very difficult. I know they're all amazing, but what would you pick?
I guess, you know, Heroes versus Villains for the kind of bridging of old school to new school. Just like gangbuster play, legendary cast, JT's letter. It's like there's a million things that have. I'm against you, Russell. Sandra burning his hat. Yep. It's it's a great season. And I think one of the great introductory seasons, if you have a person who in your life, you're like, I think you'd like this, start with Heroes versus Villains, season 20. Yeah.
All right, and the final question. Do you have a favorite Survivor moment? I mean, it could be good or bad, so it could be a mistake. Like, what jumps out to you? Like, what's like, when you think Survivor, you're like, immediately your brain goes to like this.
I mean, this is not like a original one, but the Black Widow's move on Eric, giving up getting him to give up the immunity necklace. It's unprecedented. It's never been repeated. It's like an impossible mission. The teamwork, it's like a heist movie, each playing their role, masterminded by the legendary Suri. That is Survivor at its best.
I've rewatched that season, I guess 16, right? We're talking about here not too long ago. And I remember in the time watching it, I was like, Eric, you idiot, you stupid fool. You know, the Black Widow Brigade got you, they got you. And rewatching it, I felt so bad for him.
Totally,
Trey.
Man.
They got him.
I was
they
like
got
heartbroken.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got him.
Yeah.
I mean, they got him. He was just too naive to understand what was happening with him.
Oh, he was clueless. People think it's. I mean, you see the list that it's the. They basically call it the dumbest move in Survivor history, which I think it maybe is a little harsh. Like, if anything, it's like an incredible move by all the women coming together and like getting it off him. But do you? Is there one? Is there something else that you would say is dumber, Jason, or is that sort of in the play for you?
Oh, in terms of dumb, flat out like a dumb, unforced error, JT sending the immunity necklace and writing the letter to Russell, like based on that he was so like his ingrained misogyny was so strong that he was had completely invented this idea that there was a women's alliance based off of the Black Widows and their incredible showing and of course Parv's and Cerise like activity within that, but still like that was not a thing that was occurring. And so then he said that he sent the immunity idol and the letter to Russell completely out of the blue. Absolutely dumb move, especially coming off of, JT's.
Yeah,
he was like winning on the Hero Tribe
winning
at that point.
And his winning season was like pillar to post domination, not a single vote cast for him. Like, what? That hurt his legacy, I'll say.
Yeah.
Was a legacy game. That was a legacy game for JT.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Trey, let's go to you again. Hit me with your name, your age, and your occupation. Three things, three words to describe yourself, and then your biggest pet peeve.
I'm Trey, I'm 37, and I'm a podcaster. You think they would put podcaster on there?
Oh yeah, for
sure. I've seen social media manager is kind of close to podcaster. I don't know if they would allow Photoshop boy or meme lord on there, but I would love to get a really weird one. I mean, people are gonna laugh at podcaster anyways, I do think. But I don't know. There's nothing has ever beaten Philip Shepard, former federal agent.
Question mark?
Question mark? They hit him with the punctuation. They're like, are you sure, buddy? That's great. Describing myself in three words applicable to Survivor, chill, adaptable, and silly. I want people to know me as the funny guy on the season. I don't want them, because I'm going to show up I'm going to look taller than probably most of the people out there, but I'm not really going to be that big of a physical threat, I don't think. I'll be able to help on the team challenges, maybe compete in the individual ones, but I don't want that to be the first thing people think when they see me. Oh, look at that big guy. We got to get him out because he's big. No, no, no. That guy's very silly. We should keep him around. That's what I want him to say.
Okay, I want to push back on the possibility of you not being chill, which you are 99% of the time. But the times I've seen Trey Kirby upset and angry are when you're hungry.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You're a real hangry man, so I'm a little concerned that you could be a little short with people out there once you get a little rumbling in the belly there, Trey.
That is going to be my downfall, no doubt. Will be just an occasional, day 14 rage. Just waking up on the back side of the shelter on the wrong side of the bamboo, and it's just not like, what, you didn't stir the rice, now all the rice is burned? Fine. I'm gonna go take an angry dump out in the ocean. My biggest pet peeve, survivor wise is puzzles. Brutal. I would be brutal at puzzles. But my real pet peeve,
you're in trouble.
It might be a problem.
I know. That's why I got to be silly. Oh man! Oh, look at this funny guy. I can't even do the puzzles. What a dum dum. Let's keep him around. Also, anytime an inanimate object doesn't work, like if I'm trying to fix something in the house and I can't fix it, I put a cat door on the wrong side of the door here recently. Supposed to be on the ground, where the cat is. Cut it into the top.
Where'd you put it? Yeah.
Wait, why did you put a cat door in the top?
I put a bird door in. Whoops. Once you take the door off the hinges, who knows which way it goes?
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Okay. I gotcha. You're living up to the silly guy right now.
Yeah, buddy. And the problem for that would be like building the shelter. I would want to be helpful, but if it's going poorly, I'm going to look bad on day one. No doubt about it. As for my all-time favorite Survivor player, going all the way back to season one, hasn't been topped in my book, Greg.
Yeah.
You want to talk about an all-time silly guy? He invented the coconut phone, one of the great lines ever. They get back from some tribal council. They're all expecting to eat their last chicken that they have there, but a Komodo dragon or something got hold of it. And he just comes up the beach raging, "Who did it? Who counted that goddamn chicken before it hatched?" Like, just great lines. He's having a fake wrestling match with a guy there. He became the first juror in Survivor history. Had the first individual immunity win. When he was eliminated, he just started fake crying, which I thought was great. Even Jeff Probst laughed at him. Then it comes to final tribal council. Everybody's doing their big speeches. Susan Hawk gives her legendary speech.
Legendary.
Yep.
But Greg's question to Richard and Kelly was, pick a number between 1 and 10. Richard was closer, so he voted for Richard. And when he got to the voting confessional, of the marker. It seemed to me like Greg just wanted to have fun, hang out in nature, and there happened to be a show going on, which is probably why he hasn't been back since season one.
100%.
Just messing around the whole time.
Yeah, that's exactly what you heard the stories, maybe read Mark Burnett's Survivor book, which of course I bought and read, and it's like he was sort of like a nightmare in the sense like, he knew it was a television show, and he was like, I'm just going to fuck around with all these people and not take it nearly seriously enough and all this. Yeah.
Had the crazy video from his sister, and then he sent a weird one back. He was just like basically strange weirding guy. People out the entire time. Somebody else did eventually at one point, like, who was it? Maybe Shane Powers invented like the BlackBerry where he was pretending to have a BlackBerry, which, great update because back when in season one, all phones did was call people. So eventually got an upgrade. But there have been other Greg-like characters. I think Tyson is kind of like Greg, except for Tyson actually cares about winning the game.
Yeah.
Which actually is probably a smarter choice. That's who I would want to play like, somebody who actually wants to try and win the game. But Greg, to me, is still the most entertaining character that's been out there.
He was legendary in that sense. Yeah, it's almost a shame he never got back. Or maybe it's better that he never did and just had that one-hit wonder there. Favorite Survivor season, then? Are you sticking with season one? Which is like, now and it's crazy different.
Yeah.
I would probably put a vote for Survivor Cagayan, which has the debut of a ton of awesome players. Tony, Wu, Cass, Spencer, Tasha, Sarah Lucina, Even the NBA's Cliff Robinson was on this season. People generally hail this as one of the best all new people casts. And I think that's exactly right, because almost all of those players have come back and been pretty good on their subsequent seasons. Ended with a crazy take. You're talking about all-time dumb moves. Wu taking Tony to the finale.
That was tough.
He would have won. Wu would be a millionaire if he takes Cass with him. But nope.
His heart got the better of him.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't his whole thing was like, I want to take the best too. It's like that classic, like, I want to beat the best. And you're like, whoa, don't.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
He's so likable, Wu is. But yeah, got the best.
I want to beat the absolute worst.
I want to take the absolute weakest, starving person who can't make fire anything. I want to bring that person to
you. Yeah. It's true. And then final question, Trey, you know, favorite Survivor moment or mistake or whatever you want to pick.
Well, Jason mentioned JT's letter to Russell, which is just so good. And the resulting Parvati, like, reading it aloud with Russell is so funny. So I'll throw another quick vote for Adam Klein at Winners at War, trying to tear the idol off the podium.
Yep.
It seems awesome. You're like, they should definitely do that. They should put an idol there, only they hadn't at this point, so the guy's trying to tear a fleur-de-lis off, and Jeff is just egging him on. And eventually he gets him to, like, to play the entire podium. He's like, yeah, I just want to play this whole thing. Sure, that's not an idol either. See ya, buddy. That's a great mistake, and just very funny. At some point, that will work, but the first time not working, great stuff.
Okay, don't quote me on this, and, like, the real Survivor nerds out there will fact-check me, I'm sure. Something like that, I believe, has happened in an international Survivor.
I think so.
Where there's been something at Tribal Council that you could, like, rip off or play or something like that. And maybe that's where Adam had gotten that idea. So, you know, you're right. It's coming to the... It's probably going to be in this season, if we're being honest. I could imagine we see something like that. Okay, great. JD, my man. Mm-hmm. You know, name, age, occupation. Describe yourself in three words. Biggest pet peeve.
Okay, my name is Jason Doyle. You can call me JD. I'm 50 years old. I'm up there with Rudy, I guess. I'll be one of the old guys on the tribe, and that's fine. I'm happy there. My occupation, I'm a retired DJ. For 1 year, I DJed at a discotheque in Greece, and so now I'm retired from that. So that's what I would like my lower third to say. Also, Trey brought it up. I mean, podcaster is just, it's like, what is that even? Like, is that even a job? Like, in my regular everyday life, telling people I'm a podcaster, people don't understand what I'm talking about still. Describe myself in three words. I'm quiet. I think that would be a huge detriment to my game early on, because I'm a little bit shy when I first meet people, especially in that scenario. But I'm also cool, and by cool I mean chill. I'm actually chill, Trey. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And also, I'm ruthless. I will be the most ruthless in my confessionals, especially. But I don't have any qualms about cutting people loose. I have no sympathy for people in general on any subject, really. So I would be absolutely savage out there. So
I love it. And your biggest pet peeve?
Complainers. How badly I'm suffering, if somebody's complaining about the exact thing that I'm suffering about, I'll be like, oh, just why don't you just shut up? Like, what are you, like, you know, just take it easy, man. That's complaining would be a big problem for me out there.
Okay, hit us with your all-time favorite Survivor player. Cool. And then season and then moment.
So hard to pick one. I'm going to say Parvati, but just because she's electrifying on camera, her strategy, her ruthless. She is also ruthless, which I admire very much. I just love watching every time she's on. I mean, this last time she's mellowed out significantly in Winners at War, but still great to see her. She's a legend of the game. So many, though. Natalie Anderson is up there, and I love the underdog Mike White's and the Cochran's as well. Those are the ones that I'm drawn to. But I gotta go Parvati.
Okay. Sure. Does that make one that she was on, be it Micronesia, Fans versus Favorites, one she won, I guess, right? 16, or is there something else that you like?
Yeah, again, it's so hard to choose one. I'm going to go a little off the board. I'm going Ko Rong, Brains, Brawn, and Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Pound for pound, I think I found that to be the most entertaining season. We meet Ty for the first time. Mm-hmm. We meet Aubrey for the first time, who is absolutely insufferable for the first half of the season. But then she has this massive transformation, which is the thing I love most about Survivors, watching people's journey, right? Like the most unlikely people, some will embrace where they are, embrace the game, get their shit together. And actually, she made it to the end, as I remember in that season. Michelle ended up winning, which was a huge shock to everybody. I think it was Aubrey, Ty, and Michelle in the end. And people criticized that, but you know, when she came back, I looked at her through new eyes, and she's actually a badass, and I think that she totally deserved to win. Also, Scott Pollard was on that season.
Yep.
And I loved the whole when Ty, he betrays Jason, who's also a big burly guy, and Scott. And then they have the biggest hissy fit I've seen on Survivor.
Oh,
and all they do is shit up. Like, they just went around sabotaging everything, which was so incredibly entertaining to me. And then finally, I believe that's a season where, correct me if I'm wrong, it had the infamous challenge where three people go down all at once, right? From heat stroke. Is that
one?
Yes, that is that one.
Yeah. I think Caleb gets, gets airlifted out of there. He was all right, thank goodness. But it was just one of those seasons where it's just like so many holy shit moments and so many, just again, pound for pound, a very, very, I was entertained. So.
Good.
Great.
Good. Okay. And final question here. The moment or mistake that just sticks with you.
Yeah, this moment was a definite holy shit moment. It was not a good moment, but it popped into my mind as soon as I saw this question. And it's when Varner outs Zeke at Tribal Council, just because it was just one of those, it just transcended the show, you know? Yeah. It was just like, I can't believe he just did that. Also, very surprised to hear that Zeke was trans man, and also that they kept it under wraps. There was no tease. There was no nothing leading up to it. It was just one of those, like, they had, it was so shocking because usually they'll just, a TV show will just pump the shit out of you. You won't believe what happens in this tribal council. It just came out of nowhere, and it was like, oh my God. And then the fallout, it just spilled into real life. And it was just, it actually was a watershed moment for the show. And I thought it ended up being very good for trans people, I think. And a lot of people learned a lot from it.
Yeah.
So it was just, a cool moment, a shocking moment, a holy shit moment. And that's part of what makes Survivor so great, man.
Yeah. It also
I was proud of the way that the cast reacted in that moment, because it was like, I did not expect people to immediately come to Zeke's defense in the way that they did. And they did, like, without any kind of hesitation. And that was really heartwarming to see. And also, I thought that was like an incredible moment. I thought Jeff handled that. That's why Jeff is a legend, because he unpacked that entire moment and reflected Varner's words back on him and allowed him to see, hopefully, like, why that was really fucked up. He's like, do you not see what you're doing is like really, it's not good? It was, what an amazing moment that was.
It reminds me, when you specifically get into playing Survivor and this whole idea, and they've been saying it since season one, like, where do you draw the line, right? Like, where is the line? Is there none? Like, you know, some people like rap battles or beefs. People are like, no, you can say whatever you want. It's a beef. It's a battle. You're allowed to. And people are like, no, you can't. Like, there are certain lines right. that you shouldn't cross, and that's too much. And I feel like that also happens in Survivor. And of course, that line is different for absolutely everybody, and I think that's what makes it fascinating. But that is an iconic moment for sure, JD, yeah. and what sort of fell out of that. All right, I'll finish it off here, guys, just quickly. Well, actually, not quickly. Am I J.E. Skeets or am I Phil Elder on this show? Yeah. I don't know. But I am 41, so that's great. I'm on Survivor 41, hopefully. I'm going to put podcast. We've had, I remember, was his name Kenny way back in the day? I want to say Gabon, like season 17. He was like a video game player.
Yeah.
He was like a professional video game. I remember at the time going like, what is that? And thinking, oh, okay, that's sort of cool. So, you know, maybe we'll inspire other podcasters by slapping a podcast on my lower third. So I'll go with it. Three words to describe myself. Organized, empathetic, I think. A very good one, I think, on Survivor. Yeah. I do have a decent ability to put myself in other people's shoes, I'd like to think at least. So I think that could help. And I'm going to go funny. I'm going to try and keep it light, like Trey said. My pet peeve in real life, and it might translate to Survivor when they're all walking to Tribal Council, slow walkers.
Always walking in the front. Yeah. Always.
God, I hate getting behind slow walkers. I can't imagine walking in sand behind a slow walker. Oh my God, I'll never get to Tribal Council. All-time favorite Survivor player. Somebody already slipped it in there. I'm going Tyson. I'm torn between Tyson and Jeremy, who I also love as a Survivor player.
Jeremy.
I think Tyson is the perfect balance between playing, you know, okay, when I play pickup basketball, Trey knows this because I play with him. I love a balance of let's have some fun and like get a run in and nobody needs to be a dick and stuff like that. But I also want it to be a little competitive, you know? I want it to be like, okay, we're not just like dicking around here. Like, let's actually like get at it. You know, if we're barking at each other a little bit, that's fine. I want that competitive juice. So a good balance I think Tyson does in the game Survivor is doing both. Like, he knows it's a game. He knows he's on TV. He's a funny guy. He's super sarcastic. Mm. But then you counter that with, like, the guy wants to win. And he'll do a lot of things to try and make that happen. So I love Tyson. I think Jeremy, I think he's a little more serious, or at least how he's portrayed on the show. But I think he's just cool. I just, like, would like to be Jeremy's friend.
I would like to be Tyson's friend on the island because he has cracked the code in being able to eat anytime he wants to. He's like the only guy that's never hungry on an episode or on a season of Survivor. Like, he was the coconut bandits with Jervis, and they would just go hide out, drink half the coconuts, then bring it to everybody else, and they'd be like, oh, thanks for opening these coconuts for us. Never once mentioning, why are these all half empty? Yeah. Never goes hungry. And then on Winners at War, he had like a peanut butter hideout the entire time. Like, he just had it on the side. He's like, I've been eating the peanut butter this entire time. I'm not going to tell anybody else it's out here. So the fact that he's somehow on a show where, like, the main thing of surviving is you're going to be hungry, to figure out how to never be hungry is pretty impressive.
It's a good skill to have out there on the island. My favorite Survivor season, you guys have basically nailed them. I think it's, I have three. Heroes versus Villains is amazing with Sandra becoming the two-time winner. Micronesia Fans versus Favorites with Parvati 16. And then Cagayan with Brains, Brawn, and Beauty, Tony's first win. Those are just awesome. They're iconic. Mm-hmm. But like, even the worst season of Survivor is better than 95% of TV. Like, I will fight anyone about that. Like, what's the worst season? I don't even know. They're all decent to me. They're all, even the worst ones are good.
Probably the Brandon Hance season. Ooh, what was it? Blue collar versus white collar versus no collar.
Mm.
That season was, I think, a little rough. I remember Mike eats a scorpion episode one, and that's kind of like the coolest moment in the entire season.
Yeah, okay.
And then immediately throws up.
That's true. This was a bad idea.
And Mike won, right? That was the...
He won! Yeah. And he should have won. He was the clear winner.
Yeah, okay, that one is bad. But still, it's better than most television. Yes. At least I'm entertained week in, week out. My favorite Survivor moment, I'm just like... going to go with a really weird one here because I know, and we'll be doing it here on No Buffs, talking strategy, who's aligning with who, who's going to backstab, you know, idols and advantages and all that. I love a good old challenge though. And I liked them when they were like 10 plus hours long. And I'm talking about Survivor 10, Tom, Ian, and Katie in Palau, the final immunity challenge, which is really when I want to keep it for, like, who just wants it more at that point. All they had to do was hold on to a buoy that's bobbing around in the water. Last one left standing wins. Katie lasted for 5 hours.
Yeah.
And it went another 7 hours between Tom and Ian.
Insane.
So, and Jeff Probst, they said they practiced it and they thought it would go 45 minutes.
I mean, you know, what? Jeff was, you know, Jeff was hot. He was like so mad at production after that.
I know. And this is the thing. Like, I guess, was it David versus Goliath? Christian.
Christian and Alec went for 6 hours
right.
on the stand-up thing.
But those are generally super rare now, not because the Survivor contestants are weak and just fall out after 45 minutes, because Survivor's made a decision to like try and get rid of those like super long immunity challenges where it's like, just do you have it in you? How long can you literally stand or hold something up? Which I just love those, man. I love them at the end those. When it's...
He hopped off at the end, though. He just hopped off.
Well, that's what I think is also brilliant about those challenges, though.
What a fool.
You can do that. You can literally talk somebody out of them possibly winning it by just hopping down. I love those. So
that should go down as one of the dumbest moves. Staying on a pedestal for 12 hours and then jumping off at the end.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
God. Oh, my God. It's got to be. Yeah, poor Ian. That's he's got a lot of Eric vibes to him, actually, when you think about it. Yeah,
very similar.
But they were young, it makes sense. Okay, so there we are. We're all going on Survivor now. That's our little bio. We are going to get into Survivor 41 here, guys. Trust me, I know we're running a little longer than we thought. We'll break down everything you need to know about this season and then get into the cast and make some predictions. But let's take a quick break. Hopefully it's a Pontiac Aztec, GD, or maybe some Pringles we're selling here. Let's find out.
Ooh, we'll see.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up and I got too much going on over here. Good news guys, I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, oh my God, so bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles, how's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No. I did not know that.
I did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
All right, back with No Buffs, getting into Survivor 41 here. I thought about this during the break, Jason. I want to try and one-up your Ethan postcard with this very sexy Jeff Probst candle. Sorry, I know the light. Yes, got it lit here. There it is. My man Jared bought me this, and I forgot I had it. I was like, hey, Nora, where's that sexy Jeff Probst candle we have? She's like, it's in the spare bathroom. I'm like, okay, great place for it. Anyway, we have lit the candle there for Jeff. Okay, so guys, Survivor 41, here's what we need to know, and I want to get your takes on some of it, and we'll you know, go around the horn here. First thing is, we already sort of addressed it from off the top, but there's no more, like, the subtitle or the tribal theme. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is no David versus Goliath or Edge of Extinction or whatever. JD, we've got your sort of opinion on it. Jason, what do you think? Are you fine with this, just the old number?
Yeah, let's try something new. I think it's time for, it's a good natural stopping point for something fresh after taking a season off because of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so why not try something new and see where it goes? All new cast, no one returning, and it seems like it might be that way for a while. So why not just, like, you know, freshen it up and see what works? I'm all for it.
Trey, what do you think?
Yeah, I saw that they were originally going to call it Dawn of a New Era, which I think kind of speaks to what Jason is talking about. Like, we went through 40 seasons. Everybody who was great basically has come back and played once, if not a second additional time. So yeah, it's time to get some fresh blood in here and pile up a lot of it, right? Like, we're only going to have, you know, 18 castaways or whatever now, so they're not going to be able to bring him back right away. Let's go 3 or 4 seasons with all new casts, see who's actually going to be a star, and then bring him back for an All-Stars, because then you'll get excited to see the people that you haven't seen for such a long time. Maybe we'll be able to cross over with some of the first 40 seasons, but I'm happy to see new people right now.
Survivor 41, Fresh Blood, has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, yeah,
being
it
honest,
does.
Yep. That's pretty good. I'd watch that. Okay, here's the big one. JD, we'll start with you. Your opinion on this. Shorter season. Mm. This is, I think, actually huge, and I want to unpack this with you guys. Now, Survivor, usually 39 days. I mean, we get the 39 days, you know, X people, let's say 20 people, one Survivor, you know, get the epic Jeff Probst shot. Not this time, JD. We got 26 days. Mm-hmm. That's it. They are cramming this in here. I would add that apparently they're getting fewer supplies. They're going to keep these tribes smaller throughout the season, I've read too, meaning that the players have sort of nowhere to hide. But the 26 days, are you worried about this at all? Or are you like, yeah, bring it on? I mean, this should just, like, ramp things up. What do you think?
Well, yeah, my first thought was, oh no, are there going to be less episodes because of there's less time out there on the island? But I guess they could still do a full 13, 14, whatever they usually do. So there's that. 26 days is also, when I think about it, if I'm going out on a beach for 26 days with very little supplies, that is still a long time. I think these people are going to suffer a lot while they're out there. And it just may make the game that much faster, if more fast paced. I mean, I've said in the past before that the challenges kind of wash over me sometimes, you know, and especially the reward challenges. I know that strategically who wins and, you know, you want immunity and all that, but the actual watching these things play out sometimes is just like, okay, let's just get to it. Very rarely am I on the edge of my seat going, oh my God, you know, they won pizza. Great. You know, so that's right. That's where I am on it. So if there's less reward challenge, the part of Survivor that I love the most is the scheming. It's after the challenges where we see the shot of the snake, and then we see everybody, you know, having their little discussions and the strategy, and the chess starts. And that's what I like, the chess game. the strategy. So hopefully there's more of that. Usually in the past, when people are like, they've got heat stroke or they're starving, I'm not that into watching people suffer like that, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't like medical emergencies and stuff, so I'm hoping they don't make it too hard for them. But you do want it to be hard.
Doesn't like medical emergencies.
Not really.
Okay, well, I've read...
It's not about being hard, though, anymore, I don't think. It doesn't feel like to me that Survivor is about the surviving the elements aspect anymore. And I don't think that's just because they're down to 26 days. It's like, you know, the first couple of seasons, they would have the big episode, you know, we bring out the mirror, guess how much weight you lost, look how little food you have. Yeah. Now they're getting opportunities to have stuff to eat. They've got a whole bunch of rice. Apparently they're going to get less rice here, but it's definitely more about playing the game rather than actually surviving, which, like JD is saying, that's the most exciting part. The thing I would hope doesn't get lost is having those off days where nothing's happening. I feel like you could easily talk yourself into people plotting against you. You know, like when you have a lot of downtime and you're getting bored, you're able to talk yourself into, I had known these people for 3 weeks. There's no way I should trust that guy, even if you have. Yeah. Even if you were trusting him yesterday. So maybe they lose a little bit of paranoia time cutting out these extra days. But maybe that is counteracted by the fact that you got to make moves one after another.
Yeah. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, I kind of agree with everything that JD and Trey said. I think that on the one hand, the show really appears to have made a move away from like the grueling, like you against competitors against the outdoors aspect of it. And I think part of that is like bug bites just look disgusting in 1080p.
Totally.
and I think the other part of that is it's just kind of better TV if people aren't starving and passing out because they don't have enough rice or what have you. That said, I do like that if they are going to cut back on supplies, that these reward challenges would maybe matter a little bit more and be integrated into like the kind of flow of play. I'm always a fan of like they hit a clue or an idol or something inside the competition. Yeah. I love that shit. I love when someone's got to sneak around and figure out how to get it in the midst of everybody. So maybe more of that during the reward competitions would be really cool. But a thing that Trey said and I hadn't really thought about and I agree with is that downtime. You really see, and when you read interviews with former survivors, they really talk about you don't understand how bored you are a lot of the time.
Yes.
And I really think that that is an important aspect of what happens. You're just there turning your wheels, thinking about who's talking to who went where, what's going on. And that is such an important, like, subtle engine of the texture of Survivor, and I hope they find a way to keep that going, because, you know, watching the broadcast, we you take it for granted how little information they have and how much downtime they have.
Right.
And so I hope that that continues. But all in all, excited to see what happens. But there's no way around cutting 13 days off of the competition length is going to be a drastic change, and I can't even imagine how it might impact the game at this point.
Yeah. Do we know what the reason is? I've heard rumors that they tried to, they were trying to squeeze 3 seasons into this one,
this window
of time. I don't know if that's true or not. Otherwise, is it COVID related or like, what is the thinking there? I'm sure you guys don't know, but I'm just curious. I'm asking out loud.
Yeah. It's a good question. Could it even just be, it's maybe easier to get some of these people that we want to come out for a little less time? I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
It's like, a good
You're
it's
basically
a good
asking for 4 weeks at that point and not obviously
it
much
feels
longer.
Like it must be COVID related.
You would
some
think
way.
So.
That it's something about their ability to record multiple seasons and move them down the pipeline at probably a shortened window. And, well, you know, like, if it works, fine.
Yeah, exactly.
If it doesn't work... Yep.
Go back.
Move away from it.
Yeah, that's how I would approach this. Like, try it out, and if you're happy with it and you get a great season, then go with 26 again. Like, no one's going to really care. Us as the viewers at home, it shouldn't really matter, because you're right, JD, we're still getting the same right. amount of episodes. It's just there's all that no downtime for the actual Survivor yeah. contestants, which I agree with Trey. Like, maybe that's where some of the good stuff happens, because they're in yeah. their brains, or even some silly moments I'm sure happen. But they're there doing production. Maybe they've just decided, like, wow, they're just yeah. bored. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is like, we're yeah, sort of yeah, yeah. wasting everybody's time. Like, we could crank this up and accelerate this gameplay a little bit. So we'll see how it goes. I think
somebody had a calendar
excited.
Once upon a time, right? Like a calendar yeah. that they were marking off. Yeah. And once that came out, everybody was like, what? How are the days on this possibly working? Because it didn't make sense when the episodes would actually air compared to when the challenges were. I don't right. know if this is accurate, but Wikipedia says that the reason it's 26 days is that there is a 14-day quarantine that cut into their production time.
Okay.
26 okay. plus 14, that's 40.
Okay, interesting.
Makes sense.
That does make some sense. This means, by the way, guys, let's just throw it in here now. We're not getting a loved one's visit, are we?
Oh. Like,
there's no
they
chance.
They got to.
Well, so what? They got to quarantine? How would they even do that? I mean,
if
they'd have to quarantine.
It's your unemployed loved one. Take 14
Which loved
days
one without
off?
A job do you love the most?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. it's gonna be a Zoom meeting or something, right? Ooh, like a right. Skype call
oh,
or
God,
something.
God, we've done that before, way back in like the first yeah. couple of early seasons. I remember them doing that. Yeah.
Didn't they have I forget the name of the device that was supposed to be like some competitor
oh,
to like
yeah.
the BlackBerry, but they did it on one of those like Palm Elf or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
I forget
yeah.
what it was.
A Palm Pilot.
Oh, yeah. I'm drawing a blank on what it was actually called. It was something like that. You're right. You're right for sure. And then I remember like in Thailand, wasn't there the infamous, they got videos from home? And we saw Brian's wife was like showing off like their mansion and all their cars. And like, yeah. I was like, what? I mean, he ended up winning, so I guess it didn't matter, but that was great. Okay, so we'll see. We'll see what they do with the loved ones. Okay, this is big too. And Jason, we'll start with your thoughts on this. This is from the CBS press release, okay? Mm-hmm. Quote, for the first time, host Jeff Probst will also take viewers inside the action.
The game within a game.
Addressing the audience directly throughout the season, even letting fans in on some twists before the players are made aware. So these are actually two different things. You joked about the game within the game. I think that's almost like a different thing where they're going to like hide a bunch of puzzles in the season for kids to play at home and like they can just become more Survivor fans. But this thing about Jeff Probst breaking the fourth wall, a little concerning, if I'm being honest, but what's your take?
Honestly, like a little concerning in the sense that we've got a shortened season. This, if I'm going to be completely like paranoid red flag about it, is smacks of we need to pad out these episodes. Mm. We're not getting enough. Oh. We've cut it down 13 days and we need content. Jeff, can you just go direct to camera and talk to people? Now, maybe that's not the case, but I think it's on the table and it is slightly concerning in the context of a shortened season.
Yeah, I would add to that, because of this accelerated gameplay, is there any worry, JD, that Jeff Probst has to almost explain to us what the hell's going on? Because of they need to fill in the blanks a little bit. And I don't like that if that's the case.
I mean, neither. I think that they have gotten really good at cutting away a lot of the fat. Like, the last few seasons especially has just been a million miles an hour. So I now I'm worried, Jason, that you've got the one thing that I want, if he's going to do this, I want him to be in like a Hunger Games style control room, like Plutarch Heavensby, you know, like, let's see what we're going to do next. We're going to set the shelter on fire or something like that, you know.
That's a good point. Like, what is so confusing about Survivor that you could possibly need Jeff Probst to explain it directly to you? Because, I mean, even when they do this, like, you know, Kelly Wentworth, right, was the first to get an idol at a challenge or something like that. And even then, it's like, she gets the clue, she's reading about it, and then they kind of, like, flash forward to, here's where it's going to be. They light it up with a spot shadow and all that kind of stuff. Like, that could be very confusing if you were just hearing somebody talk about it.
Yeah.
But they're explaining it with the show here. This is This to me is a little bit too much talk show, Jeff. Like, when that guy sits down on a log next to a competitor, I'm like, fast forward, buddy. I want to hear Jeff at Tribal Council, and I want to hear him zinging people at challenges. I don't need him breaking everything down.
Yeah, it makes me think immediately of a, was it Ceri that got voted out? Even though she never got a vote because it was a bunch of, like, it was Idol Armageddon, right? Everybody had
Idol,
one.
What, they call it, like, Idol Train, hashtag Idol Train or something.
Yeah. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, Probst literally comes on and does a breakdown of what the hell happened there. Because it was, in their defense,
that was
like, mad
one.
Confusing. It's like, what? Why is that? Why is she gone? She didn't get a vote because of all these ties and stuff like that and all the idols. Will we get more of that? Because that was him explaining sort of this craziness that's happening. And
he had like a whiteboard, didn't he? He was like drawing up a play.
And I actually liked it. Though that must have been, that was the final episode. So that makes a little more sense. That's in front of a live studio audience and stuff like that. I think if I'm remembering this correctly, he was on stage there with the whiteboard breaking it down. But we'll see. I read this press release and it keeps saying like, it's like Probst is going to come on before a commercial break, I feel like, and say, like, what do you think, what do you think Joe's going to do with that idol? Do you think he should play it or do you think he should not? We'll find out after the break. That's what I sort of think we might get, Jason. We'll see, I guess.
Well, if it's that, that's relatively unobtrusive. But if it's like, man, we got to fill time right now because we just don't have enough stuff, that's where I worry.
Right. Right. As for the game within the game that Jason alluded to, I saw Mike Bloom, a fantastic Survivor writer and podcaster. He wrote, quote, each week will apparently feature a hidden Rebus puzzle in the episode that fans can spot and solve. Though it has no bearing on the game at hand, it allows fans and families who have been following the show for years to become players in their own right. Now, okay, I get this is for the kids. Jeff Probst loves the kids.
He loves it for the kids.
It's for the kids.
Are you 12 years old?
Are you 12? Are you 12, 16 years old? You're watching right now at home with your parents. You love Survivor, but you don't know how you're going to be in it. Well, look up here. Wendell used to watch Survivor as a kid, and now he's playing in the game, and you can do it too. Just ask your parents if you can send us a tape, and we'll take a look at it and decide if you can be on Survivor. We'll be back.
Yeah, it's almost like it's almost having to like do the little math like equation, JD, to then win the prize.
Right,
and in this case, do this little Rebus puzzle while you're watching Survivor, and you got it right. Hey, we might get you on the show. Any concern, JD? Well, I mean, hey, look. Well, your son's at least Jackson loves Survivor.
He does.
Will he be into this?
That's the first thing I thought of. Like, okay, we're gonna play this. We're gonna try it out. And hey, I love an Easter egg in a show, and that's what it sort of reeks to me. Yeah. Like, it's just here's this hidden thing. It's a little wink to the audience. It's a little game that you can play at home. I'm fine with it as long as it doesn't intrude or with anything else that's happening on screen. So I'm curious to see. I'm always a naysayer. It's like, this is gonna be stupid, but then Survivor always sort of comes around and they do a pretty good job of these cockamamie schemes that they come up with. So I'm hopeful. So we'll see.
Okay. Trey, any thoughts on this? The game within the game.
I can't wait for these puzzles. Just looking forward to spotting a Rebus.
I mean, JD, you called
love
it
puzzles.
Like, you said the hope it's like an Easter egg. Like, it's on the tree in the background, or it's like, you got to pause your show to catch it. It ain't going to be like that.
That's going to be blatant.
It is going to be like, you're going to be knocked over the head with it because, it's also for kids, right? So it's like, if the whole idea is for a kid, it's going to be like, here's the puzzle, I assume. And we'll see. Hey, look, we're going to be doing it on No Buffs regardless.
Oh, definitely.
Who's going to figure out the puzzle fastest between us four? So that'll at least give us some content. All right, final like sort of thing you need to know about this season. I probably buried the lead, if I'm being honest. I should have flipped these around. This is the first season of Survivor to be cast under CBS's new reality show casting mandate, which has resulted in a more racially diverse cast. And we will get to showing you the cast and, again, making our picks. This is awesome. Is it just cool to see the photo of all the Survivor contestants? Which, JD, I think you have and you can throw up. But it is pretty cool. I assume everyone's going to agree. to have more people of color, Jason, because there usually is like one, two, or maybe three, and there is a lot more this season.
Survivor has been good, I think, pretty solid with it over the last several seasons, but it's great to see. This is surely probably more of a Big Brother mandate than a Survivor mandate, but... Mm-hmm. But I'm glad to see it, and it should make for some, satisfying viewing for the people at home who get to see themselves reflected in a Survivor contestant.
The cast also, when you go through the breakdown tray, seems to tip slightly older than a typical season. Mm-hmm. Only six people in their 20s, and then we got three in their 50s. Also got a couple people from Canada, which is nice. I think there's there's two Canadians in the bunch.
That's important representation, I think.
Thank you. Thank you. But Trey, yeah, any thoughts on sort of first impressions, I guess, of what they've casted here for Survivor 41?
I love it. You got to have a mix of people and you got to have a mix of ages, because it's so common that it's like, all of the 20-year-old bros show up and they're like, well, we're all 20-year-old bros. We're together for the entirety here. Yep. Wait, what if the women join up? Not an all-girls alliance. Yucky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm totally for it. You know, there's more life experience to the people who are in their 50s. It's very funny to read the bios from the 20-year-olds here who are very, very proud of what they accomplished in high school. And then the 35-year-olds are like, yeah, I'm a neurosurgeon. It's a little different than winning state in high school. In track. Yeah. I mean, kudos to you, but being a neurosurgeon, you've accomplished some things and seen some things, and it just gives us a chance to see more sort of odd couple pairings. Like, nobody would have picked Malcolm and Denise to be one of the best twosomes in Survivor history, but once they finally started working together, they were a great pairing. Dominic and Wendell were a great pairing.
One of the greatest ever.
Yeah, no doubt. It's like, you're going to see these people finding like-minded contestants out there that you wouldn't expect. And I think that's going to be something that's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, JD, anything to add to this?
Yeah, you guys summed it up perfectly. It's just great to see. It's great that there's going to be new types of people, new personalities, new gameplay, I think we're going to see out of this. So, I'm excited for it. The cast looks awesome.
It does. It does. Especially when you start going through it. Are you a fan, like JD, of returning seasons, like returning player seasons, like where we get the legends coming back? Do you think they're generally better than new cast seasons, or are you a fan of like, no, come on, you got to get Survivor 41 fresh blood in the mix? What do you think?
I mean, I do love returning players for sure. I'm also one of these people where whenever the season of Survivor ends, it's gone from my brain completely, it's right. I had to go back and look, do some research for this. I was like, oh yeah, that happened. Oh, that guy, that woman comes back is just like she never left, And then, so I do enjoy that, but I also love a whole new fresh cast is just so refreshing. And especially after last season, which I loved, Winners at War. Mm-hmm. But this is just all brand new. And we'll get into it, but all of these people are diehard Survivor freaks. Like, they just seem to know the game. Most of them, anyway, from what I've read. Yeah,
most of them.
So that's when they know the game and they know the history and they know the strategies and what's worked before, what hasn't worked before. It just makes for much more entertaining strategic season, which I love.
Okay, well, let's do it this. We have one more break to take, but let's get everybody's contestant that intrigues them the most. Okay, I'm not asking you who you think's going to win. I'm not asking you who's going to get booted first, who's going to be the star of the season. I'll save those for after the break. But in the 18 players we got here, Jason, who, and I don't know how much research you did, by the way. Like, did you do a deep dive?
I mean, I'm in a fantasy league.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Which, let me just say, is impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible to scout these folks in the same way that you would scout NBA players, NFL players, etc. But gosh, so not the person that I would like to win or...
Yeah. Just like someone that jumped off the page to you or the video or whatever. That you're like, oh, okay, that could be an interesting Survivor character.
You mentioned him. I'm going to say David, the neurosurgeon. He listed as his like comp Russell, which always concerns me when people do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, is Russell a legend? Sure. Did Russell make multiple final tribals? Yeah. Does Russell have a gaping hole in his game that speaks to what actually the game is, a social game, and that you don't try to play that aspect of it? Yes. So it's weird to me to be like, oh, I love Russell is like one of the most incomplete players ever in Survivor history, ever. Right. Like if he could figure out how to build alliances, he'd win. So I'm going to say, I'm going to go with David because I'm really fascinated when people say that they love Russell and they want to play like him. And I'm interested to see what that looks like in 2021.
Okay. What about you, JD, who jumped off the screen or the page for you?
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens with Jeannie Chen. She's the Portland grocery clerk.
Yep.
And I believe that she said that the only thing on her bucket list is to play in Survivor. She doesn't care about traveling the world or anything. She just wants to play Survivor. And she just seems like all rainbows coming out of her eyes, you know, like she's so like a positive person. But I feel like when she gets out there, she might, it's like the Mike Tyson, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. And I feel like that might happen to Jeannie because I don't know. It's just as you say, Jason, like it's so hard to tell, but I'm hoping for an Aubrey style journey for Jeannie because, I think that it'll be overwhelming at first, but I think I'm hoping that she falls into a groove. And I just loved her energy and the 1 minute thing that I watched her in.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious to see how Jeannie does. I'm rooting for her for sure.
That could be, I mean, we've seen it multiple times. You said Aubrey, I would say Cochran, David, yep. They get out there and they're like, what am I doing? Even Suri, maybe even a little bit like, what have I gotten myself into? And
the
you're
first
like,
time for
oh.
sure. Yeah.
But then the story, as the story goes, they get a little more comfortable and they find their footing and they go pretty far and become pretty, iconic characters or people at least, that cheer for them. So, okay, Jeannie, the 46-year-old grocery clerk from Portland. Okay, Trey, what about you? Most intriguing is the question here.
I've also got Jeannie very high on my list because her answer to what is a notable accomplishment you've had is, I got the Hustle Award 1 year at basketball camp when I was 15 years old. What an answer.
What an answer from decades back.
I was putting in work. I was taking charges. I was boxing out on the regular 15. I hope she does well. And I'm also excited to see Evie, who is the first non-binary contestant on Survivor, using they pronouns, if I'm not mistaken. They say that their pet peeve is straight up men. And after the way that some things have happened in Survivor recently, there are going to be some opportunities for them to speak out. So I think that will be certainly interesting. And they seem to be a pretty charismatic person in the first place. So I think Evie's going to do pretty well.
All right. We're going to take our final break. But when we come back, I mean, it's damn near impossible, as we said. But we're going to try and predict first boot, who becomes the real star, basically meaning who's coming back for sure, and who is the sole survivor of Survivor 41. Ooh. One more break. Let's get some Pringles, JD. Okay, back with No Buffs. Now, we're not going to go through every single person here on the cast. That seems a little overboard, if we're being honest here. We're already running an hour 10 in here. So we'll show you everybody if you're joining us on YouTube so you have an idea. We got three tribes. JD, you can chuck them up here. I'm probably going to butcher how you say these tribe names. This one is the Luvu tribe. Hopefully I said that one
correct. It's not love you?
love you.
Love you.
The next one, I don't even know how to start by pronouncing it. It's Uwa?
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe? Yeah? Uwa. And then and then we've got the Yase tribe. So they're Fijian words for flood, wave, and lightning, respectively. So you've seen the people. There's 18 people. I want you guys to somehow tell me who's going to be the first boot of the season. All right. Wednesday night's the premiere, Jason. Who's going home?
Gosh. Okay. So when I was going through my fantasy league picks, There's not a lot to go on, but one of the things I did go on is that sweet spot is about 25 to win the whole thing and stick around. Younger people don't tend to do that well. Similarly, over 50, they may stick around for a while, but they very rarely win. I'm going to say somebody young, and so I'm going to go with, gosh, it's really hard.
You know why it's so funny how difficult this is? We don't know which tribe is going to be.
I know. I'm going to go with Xander.
Okay.
21 years old. Off of nothing other than he's a young guy and maybe he'll rub people the wrong way.
Mm. Okay.
And he'll be seen as a physical threat, so let's get him out.
I think that's
Xander from the Yasei tribe.
That's right. The long locks, right? There over on the left if you're joining us on YouTube. Okay. Okay, so going with the young guy. I could see this tribe losing, I'll be honest.
Keep it up, JD. I've actually got somebody from this tribe as well.
Who's next? What did you want from next?
We'll do it one at a time for everybody. So Trey, who do you got going first?
Oh, Tiffany, front middle. Sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she said three words to describe myself: funny, loving, loud. All caps. Loud. And that's when I said, "Oh, you're gonna be the first one going home. If you're bossing people around, my man Xander does not want to hear it." And I mean, once you put this picture up, I kind of agree. This doesn't look like they might be competing in the most physical of challenges. Who knows?
It always comes down to a puzzle, right?
She's from Queens, so I feel like I know the loudness of which you speak.
Right. Yeah, she's a teacher, I believe. Tiffany is there, right?
That's right.
Okay, we got a Xander and a Tiffany. JD, where are you going for this one? First boot.
Tiffany, high on my list for the exact same reason, Trey. Wow. Also, the teacher thing with so many young people, I don't know if they're on her tribe, but young people in college, they don't want to be bossed around by an elementary school teacher. I think she's elementary school. I'm not sure. But if you're loud and your teacher and you're bossy, there's another guy, I can't remember which one, who's a professor who I think might be in trouble for the same reason. Like I think his wife said, don't be yourself, you know, just don't explain things to people, you know, second on my list, I believe, let me see, on the Luwu tribe, it's Sydney Siegel. She is from the left, the third in from the left, the back there. Reason being, I heard her talking in her little blurb. When she referred to herself as sexy, I don't like that. You know, it may be true, but I don't like it. That things come easy to me, and my parents have given me such a huge opinion of myself, and I think that could be very problematic on a tribe. You know, just because it'll just be annoying. That said, looking at this tribe, I don't think they're going to lose the first challenge.
Yeah. I mean, this is the tribe with the NFL player.
Yeah.
There in Danny. Danny McRae. But you never know. We don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the time, like I said, it ends in a puzzle, and it's like whoever just pooches that, they'll be going to tribal council. Okay. You got to go back to the Yasei tribe for me, guys.
I'm not
picking Xander, and I'm not picking Tiffany. I think it's going to be David, the neurosurgeon. I think he, as I assume a very intelligent guy, may not be the best people person, and maybe getting a little bossy. Because here's the other thing, right? Not only do you have to lose a challenge probably to get there to then be voted out, but we're talking like from day one on Survivor, we're building our shelter. We got to get our things all in order, like, you know, who's in charge of this, and you get those bossy people that are really good in real life and in the profession, and they're, you know, they got to where they are for a reason, but that can backfire very easily on Survivor. So I just think I'm just, you know, throwing a dart at the dartboard here and saying David is the first one out.
Just looking at this picture, trying to gauge the energy between David and Tiffany, I want to say there's some friction there. You know,
shades of another David Sampson, who was the Marlins GM that was the first boot in Kagyan. Very similar dynamic. This extremely high achieving person, super smart, used to running an organization, got into the tribe and was immediately first on the block. Goodbye.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, so
say to him, it's not brain surgery, David.
Yeah.
We're just voting here.
Yeah.
There's got to be an episode titled It's Not Brain Surgery or something like that. Yeah. You can book that.
Okay, as we start to wrap this up, I'm just going to jam these two together. So you can give me two names if you really want to. We're looking for the season star. Like, who do you think is going to come out of this as like a fan favorite? And maybe that's also the winner. So if you only have an answer to the one of them, I mean, we need a winner, but you can also give me a season star. Jason, how about it?
I'm going to go for star. I'm going to go with Erica Kasupanan, based on nothing other than Kasupanan's a Filipino, a very common name in the Philippines. And I think therefore I'm going to assume that she's Filipino, and therefore I'm pulling for her. That's it.
She's from Toronto too.
I liked her
little bio as well. And she seems like a charming and a high achieving, highly energetic person. For the winner, I'm going to go with Richard Foy. He is the flight attendant, 31 years old, from Lynnwood, Washington. And I just feel like that profession means you're watching people all the time. You're catching vibes. You're seeing who's happy, who's unhappy, who's anxious, who needs something. You're used to being in observation mode, and I think that's going to serve him very well. And so that, listen, again, it's so hard to know who's going to win from this stage, but I'm going to pick Richard.
Okay, I feel like he's gonna give some banger confessionals too. Like, as a flight attendant, you can only imagine, like, they're incredible at, like, they're helping people, they're serving people, they're getting attitude from people, and then they go to the back or to the front of the plane, like, can you believe that dickhead in 16E with the big forehead and won't stop sweat? Like, I don't know. I'm obviously stereotyping a flight attendant that they do that, but I just got a good vibe that he's going to like drop bangers in confessionals. I like that pick. But you're going for him as a winner, which is
I'm going for him to win.
Which is very, very bold. Yeah, we'll throw him up here. I believe, do I have the right tribe?
No, I second green tank top. Yep.
Oh, I do. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there he is in the green tank top. Repping for looking like Dominic Toretto there in a green tank top. to bring it back to Fast Furious. Okay, JD, let's go to you next as we take this down. Again, someone you're either cheering for and then who you think is going to win this thing.
Okay, so I'm cheering for both of these people. So who I think is going to be a star? Let me see here. The Uwa tribe. It's Sarah Wilson, who I believe is in the left, first woman to the left, I guess.
Okay. Front row or back row is what we want to do.
Front row, sorry. Okay, front row.
There we go.
She is a long distance swimmer. And, I'm partial to swimmers. I was a swimmer myself. And just, you know, to be a long distance swimmer, you have to have endurance. You have to have some stamina. Mm-hmm. Also graduated MIT. So I just have a good feeling about her. She's young, but I think she's smart. And she's tougher than she looks. So I think she is going to emerge as a star of this game. And the winner of the game, I think she's on the same tribe. Yes, Chantel Smith, right next to her.
Yep.
She is the Canadian pastor. She's just had a rough life, basically. So I think she's tough as nails as well. She was in a gang, apparently. So I think she is not to be trifled with. And listening to her talk, I think she can read people. And I just think she's going to be good. I think she's going all the way. And it's a total Homer pick because, she's Canadian. So I always want to pick somebody who I want to root for. But I'm very, very high on Ricard as well. One of my best friends is a gay guy as well who worked as a flight attendant. And Skeets, you are 100% right. Lots of hilarious confessionals, I think, coming our way when I'm really looking forward to that. But honestly, he seems so charming. that I think he might be a threat, and I think he's not going to make it to the end. I think people are going to be wise to that. But we'll see. We'll see.
Look, hey, we need to say this. We haven't had a female winner since 34. Game Changers. Wow. Sarah, yeah, we are on a crazy male run here with Ben, Wendell. Shout out to Wendell, our guy. Nick, Chris, coming back from Edge of Extinction, playing 8 hours of Survivor and winning. Tommy, and then Tony for a second time. That's six straight male winners. So Trey, do they make it seven, or is a woman going to win this one here?
I can't believe y'all took my two picks. I was going to go with Ricard or Shan as my backup pick, so I think those ones are solid ones. If I'm given a little variety here, let me toss a vote for Deshaun Radden on the Luvu tribe, a 26-year-old medical student. He's coming in with his own nickname. He's going to call himself Devious D-Rad, which I don't know if that's going to go over well. Being Devious D-Rad, but you can tell he's ready to play, and that's exciting. So at the very least, he's going to be trying hard. If I were going for a straight-up winner pick, give me Ricard, though. I love a prematurely graying man with a ponytail. Can't be beat. And I think Evie's going to take home that Sia money at the end of things.
Yeah, thanks.
That's my fan favorite
pick. Love that Sia money.
Oh, wow. That's
Is that a thing? Is that an official thing? Does she do that every time?
I think she's got a good run going. They used to do it on the show, and then I know they stopped like announcing
a year
it,
and a half away. She's gonna skip this one. No chance.
Come on, no chance. There is honestly one of the craziest and weirdest and most fun things in TV history is that Sia's just like, I like this show a lot. I'm gonna give somebody money every year.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's like, that's it.
Yeah, and it seemed like it was going to be a one-time thing, right? Because I think it was Ty was the first one, and Sia apparently does a lot of work with animals, and Ty was obviously had a close relationship with Mark the Chicken.
Saved some animal lives that season.
No, but Sia's like, it was good one time, and it's going to be good every single time from here on out. Sometimes she even gives money to more than one contestant, right?
Yeah, like, she split it before.
She is not messing around.
Okay, my winner, or I think will be a star, I guess, sort of go hand in hand. I'll pick him as my winner. I mean, it's impossible. I hear you, Jason. You said like a young person doesn't generally win this game. That's true. But we got three 20-year-olds here. I'm going with Jarius Robinson, who is a 20-year-old college student from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I believe he is on the Ewa tribe there. He's in the middle there.
Yeah.
In watching his videos, great energy, seems like just a really fun guy to be around, and I think that will keep him around. Now, he looks like he could be a physical threat, so maybe that backfires on him as the show goes on, but I'm going to be cheering for him. I just great smile too, just lights up the camera there in any of his little talking videos that we saw heading into this. So go Mr. Robinson, go get it done. 20
He's
years
also
old.
Been wearing puka shells in a lot of his promo shots. I'm like, ooh, I like this guy. This guy's ready for the island.
Goes by JD too, so he's got to be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Does he go by JD?
Apparently,
Okay, there you go. Oh my God, we'll be cheering for a JD here on Survivor 41. All right, there it is, guys. Let's call it there. Well, hold on. Okay, Jason, you said you were in a Survivor pool already. But what I need to know now is, are we going to, I mean, we got to do something here on No Buffs. Maybe we just, maybe offline, we'll pick a man and a woman each. Okay. And then, or, you know, Evie's in play, of course. We pick two people. Let's just make it two people. Yeah. We don't need to pick a man and a woman. We pick two people.
I like it.
Longest combined tenure for your two people, you know, win something, or everybody else has to chip in and give money to charity or something like that. Okay. So we're doing something. We'll figure it off offline. We won't keep you guys longer than we need to. Love it. Very excited for this. Reminder, we're pushing you guys to subscribe to No Buffs, the new YouTube channel and the new podcast feed. Just search for No Buffs on Apple, and we're working on Spotify. It'll hopefully be there soon. It's already up there on YouTube. So go subscribe if you're a Survivor fan and you want to be following No Buffs all season long here. As I said, Jason is going to be with us every single episode. In fact, Jason's going to be with us more episodes than Trey and I. Because...
Oh my God, that is the case. That is a weird thing that is happening.
Yeah. I'll peel back the curtain. Trey and I, along with our wives and a couple of their friends, we booked a trip to an island, by the way. We're doing our own Survivor here months ago, and it's finally coming up here before, of course, we knew the Survivor schedule. So we're going to miss episode one breakdown, the recap. Wow. But it's okay. It's in good hands.
Are we, or are we watching on vacation, buddy?
Well, we might watch it. I don't know how we're going to call in. I don't think that's going to be happening. But anyway, we got Jason. We got JD. And I think Tass is actually going to fill in. You know,
Tassie will definitely be joining us.
Okay, so
he
that's
seems
great.
Pretty pumped about it too. So so look forward to that, Jason.
Okay, that's great. So that'll be coming out on Thursday again around 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, 2:30 Pacific. We'll be waiting a day or the next day after it premieres there on Wednesday night Survivor. So that's what's happening. Email or tweet at us any screen grabs, observations, questions you have. No Dunks Inc. By way of Twitter, it's probably just the easiest way to do it. But if you want to email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. And again, we'll be back here. Well, Jason, JD, and Tass will be back on Thursday afternoon. We'll get it up as soon as humanly possible. We'll, of course, be live on YouTube. I can't wait, guys. I'm super pumped about this. I was just geeking out for the last 90 minutes talking about old Survivor seasons and then this Survivor 41 with you guys. So I'm super excited. I'll end with this. I saw Probst say this to, again, Mike Bloom there at Parade Magazine. He says, quote, this is Jeff Probst, "I'll say it right now. If you have never watched an episode of Survivor, just watch the premiere of Survivor 41. And if you don't get hooked, blast me on Twitter for wasting your time."
Bold stuff.
Incredible. So now is a good time to get in. Make sure you subscribe to No Buffs. Guys, have a great show on Thursday, and we'll see you a week following that. The tribe has spoken.